GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. Rory O'Neill is my name, sitting in for Jackie today. And it's probably the one morning where I would have preferred not to be falling in on hosting duties, because we could actually have something proper to crow about for a change. But it was a fantastic weekend for Cork. In fairness, it was a fantastic weekend for Armagh. And like, there were some stories. I think, would it be fair in a general context to say, the championship, while didn't catch a blaze fire, we certainly saw some embers starting to smoke in this weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Rory. It only took you, was it 5 seconds to mention Cork? Didn't take you too long. Yeah, no, definitely.
Pretty Cork win and the football championship comes alive.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. A leading question, Kieran. Definitely. I think the fact that Cork beat Donegal, you know, Donegal had been going so well and we were all wondering how they get on with the long journey and the non-Ulster opposition, and the way the Cork are playing, how would they test them out? So that certainly got it took the predictability out of the championship, I suppose. It's been pretty predictable a lot of the games so far. And then obviously the Armagh win in Derry City was a huge win for them as well. And it's just the whole issue around Derry is just baffling, that from where they've been to where they are now, it's hard to believe it. You know, a couple of other good things thrown in for good measure in the middle. And needless to say, the Dubs just continue to do what they're doing and play at the level that they continue to play at. And you know, I know even afterwards Desi Farrell was nitpicking a small bit, but you'd have to have been very impressed with them again on Saturday evening. So definitely a few things to enjoy over the weekend. And like you said, it definitely, we've had more talking points after this weekend, which is great.
Yeah, you were there yesterday, Wilo, and would it be fair to say you couldn't really believe what you were seeing again?
Yeah, I think so, Rory. You kind of look back at the Donegal game and you kind of say, okay, was it a blip? You know what I mean? And then when you looked at the Derry game a couple of weeks, or the Galway game a couple of weeks ago, and I know the sending off had an impact, but even the goals that day kind of came, particularly the second one on the counter-attack. And Derry, to me, there was just something about them in terms of their body language, their scrambling defence just wasn't there. There was kind of guys nearly, not saying giving up, but they just weren't getting back into that defensive position. And then the game started yesterday and, you know, Bradley gets an opening score, and it was a typical Derry score that we've seen over the last couple of years. And you're thinking, yeah, are they going to get back on track here? And then it imploded spectacularly. And I suppose one of the trends over the weekend is like, that is, you know, we've seen a lot of goals now kind of on that kind of counter-attack. You know, we saw like Donegal even got caught against Cork with the Matty Taylor goal, and we saw one for Shane Walsh as well. But yesterday was just like, talk about an abandonment of the defensive structure, like everybody ahead of the ball. And it was phenomenal that throughout the whole game, I'm sure, Carr, you were there as well, that every time Armagh turned over the ball, it looked like it was a potential goal-scoring chance. And they got three, they butchered another one. Connolly hit the post. They could have actually hit them for six or seven goals. And it was baffling stuff, I mean, honest with you. And I think it's a combination. It's not just being caught on the counter-attack. Derry just seemed to have lost their way. I think even from an offensive game perspective, like the Derry we saw over the last couple of years were full of counter-attack play, strong running. You know, they played nearly the game that Armagh and Donegal were playing the last few weeks, where they turned teams over aggressively. They had strong runners coming from deep. They moved the ball quick. They attacked a lot faster, where they kind of got caught in this kind of slow attacking game, and they're relying on the kind of Ethan Doherty and Paul Casty to come around the edges. You know, McGuigan was well tied up in the first half when we came, but yesterday. So the nature of their attacking game and the slowness of their attacking game has, I think, put them in the position where they're vulnerable to turnovers, and the fact that they commit so many forward, that's ultimately what hurt them. And it's just been a radical change to what we've seen over the last couple of years.
We've locally, and their trajectory was so impressive and was trending always in the right direction from the time when they were in Division 4, probably up until the last couple of weeks. So it's been a spectacular fall. What's going on?
Yeah, there's probably so many elements to it. Kieran's nailed a lot of it in terms of the analysis of the structure of their play. I think there's been evidence right from the start of the season, even though they were winning league games, that their attack and play had changed a lot. It wasn't as structured. It wasn't as rehearsed. They were kicking the ball a fair bit more in the league, and obviously that space has disappeared a wee bit as the league has gone on. You take the couple of injuries they've had in the last couple of games have affected them from both ends in terms of it being, you know, it ripped them of their half back line, which was not only a defensive strength, but an attacking strength as well. And that's reflected in the fact that, you know, a lot of focus naturally on the defensive side of it. Like you can't concede 942 in three championship games, 834 of it from play. You can't do that. But the bit that's kind of been glossed over a wee bit is that Derry haven't scored a goal in those three games. 17, 16 and 15 points has been their three scores. They've hardly had a goal chance. They're not hurting teams. A lot of their threat was coming from that half-back line in terms of the offensive side. But, you know, Kieran mentioned the defensive structure abandoned them. And in many ways, it has. But I thought that was actually more evident in the Donegal game than it was yesterday. I think the body language and the energy was more of the problem yesterday, actually. And in fairness, not alleviating the sideline of the criticism, but it's very difficult to legislate for the turnovers that happened to Conor McCluskey and Brendan Rodgers on the first two goals. I mean, every team now pretty much attacks with 13, 14 men ahead of the ball. And you back yourself not to get turned over in that position. You just cannot afford to get turned over. And it's funny, like, actually just watching the bits of Cork Donegal, I was listening to the commentary of the game on Highland on Saturday afternoon, and Martin McHugh fairly perceptively picked it out, and he was, you know, when you watch it, he was right. Said the Cork really targeted Donegal's smaller men for turnovers, and the two goals on the turnover came from tackles on Ryan McHugh and Pater Mogan. Yeah. And Cork were physically a lot bigger than them. And again, like you watched the first Cork goal, and I mean he ran 80 yards into open space, because every team backs themselves in that position on the ball not to get turned over. And it's just the nature of the way attacking has gone in Gaelic football. So That's not alleviating any of the blame or what has happened, but there's just a lot to it. But the body language and the energy, like, it's one thing to get caught out, but on Conor Turbitt's goal, I mean, he turned around, kind of looked back at the two supporting players that, nah, I'll go myself. And there was just so little energy in terms of red and white shirts getting back to cover that he was able to do that. He was able to pretty much stop, turn around, have a wee look, to say himself.
Tara, on that goal, interest what you thought. Chrissy McCaig's role. Oh, you know, he drifts. He was totally out of position, and Turbitt obviously cheated on him and kind of stayed in behind 10, 15 yards, you know. But like, Chrissy McCaig was drifting all the way up the field, and a lot of the turnovers, he's like, you would expect him to be the last man at home, because he's not one for, you know, getting into shooting position. He goes in and he tries to occupy a man in around the D area. But I thought his position yesterday and was all over the place.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if it was a direction or an instruction, but it's tended to be, you're right, and that Chrissy McCaig is usually the man that stays home. If you look at the goals they conceded against Donegal, even when Donegal were running the ball into an empty net, Chrissy was still the last man back marking Oisin Gallon. So that seemed to be a bit of a, whether it was a deliberate change or whether it was going chasing the game as well. And it's that thing of, you know, an old area getting hammered again from the sideline in terms of like how long are they going to go on getting hammered on the opposition's long kick out and getting caught in behind, how long. But it's probably the issue with that is probably your starting point. As a, you know, you're going out with, and that's your game plan. Once you're 6 points down, can you really go away from that? You know, if you go away from that, you're just waving a white flag because you have to then go and chase it. And as happened in both games, the harder they've chased it, the more they've just been caught, and it has just got worse and worse and worse. And the margins and the nature of the defeats, because I think they'll be really stung by yesterday in terms of, even though they never really looked like they were going to win in Galway after the red card, there were much better signs in terms of the overall performance. But even within that, like, I just watched back the goals this morning too, like, and you know, the second goal, like, Cian D'Arcy picked up the ball on his own 21-yard line. There were 6 Derry players ahead of him, 9 goal side of him when he picked the ball up. It was Cian D'Arcy who ended up palming the ball into the net uncontested 120 yards down the field. You know, he stripped a lot of them over 120 yards. So, like, that sort of stuff's happening. That's the real worry. It just looks like it's going to be very hard to fix.
They're Division 1 league champions, Eamon. But I was looking there, they haven't won a match, we'll say, on the field, if you leave out a penalty shootout, which was the arbiter for the league win, since the 24th of March. Now, that's, it might seem that long ago, but it does feel like a long time. Putting the triumph in the league into context now versus their performances in the championship, what is likely to be the reaction here in terms of management, the players? Where do they go?
Yeah, Rory, look, it's not a great indicator for the league for next year, is this? Because second year in a row that we've had the league champions, you know, as the season has gone on, you know, that they found it harder in the championship. I think there's 100 things with the Derry thing. I think there's obviously going to be an emotional thing within Derry itself. But if you strip it back and look at kind of the facts or the nitty-gritty of the situation, they're down a lot of key players. Carr mentioned that they're particularly their half-back line, which was a springboard for them attacking-wise, was a big thing defensively. That's one thing. They've moved away from their attacking game that was so effective and so hard for other teams to defend against. Other teams, I think, have got more comfortable defending. I think Armagh obviously got huge credit for their offensive game yesterday, but they were outstanding defensively as well. In terms of the Derry, the old Derry attack was built on those one-on-one situations and the man beating his direct opponent in front of him. Armagh didn't allow them for most of the game to beat them, to create those overlaps. First point that Kieran mentioned that Emmett Bradley got, that was one of the few examples where they did manage to beat a man and it opened up and it kind of set that domino effect in play that hasn't worked. Their press is broken. It needs to be fixed. It's costing them it cost them big time against Donegal. The goal, obviously, Connaughty's chance came from it yesterday. So that's an issue for them. I think I said it the first night of the league in Tralee when all of the Glen lads played. I thought it was madness. You know, in terms of championship, it was madness for a league game in Tralee in the end of January. Fair enough, but even taking them down, the length of the journey to go all the way down to Kerry, I think fatigue is an issue. I'm not sure what their S&C situation is, whether it's fatigue or that they've just gone off the boil, because they certainly weren't able to live with Armagh's pace and running yesterday. In the short term, what can they do, Rory, for the Westmeath game? Look, obviously they're going to have to shore things up at the back. Their camp is exposed. I think, to be fair to them, yesterday the Conor McCluskey turnover, that was a borderline foul. You know, like if if you were, when things are going against you, those kind of calls go against you. Now, Conor McCluskey is a smart player. Why he didn't just use Orrin Lynch like they've been doing for the last 3 years and he decided to take it into contact, I don't know, in that part of the field. I think there's a lesson for all teams as well in what Tiernan Kelly did, pushing out and going after the tackle. So many teams sit off players in that situation and, you know, it's just so passive, but it was good from Tiernan Kelly. Brendan Rodgers, I had to look back at his thing again this morning. It just looked like a poor skill execution rather than anything else. It just looked like he got the hand pass wrong, kind of the way he looked. It looked like that it went off in the wrong direction for him. They got caught in that. I think the biggest issue they have is confidence, that their confidence has to be on the floor. Even Conor Glass yesterday, in their reference in the commentary, he was so ratty, he was getting thick. Carr, I saw your piece this morning where you said that when Emmett Bradley was taken off, he gestured at the sideline. You know, that kind of stuff, that's not good. It's not good. And especially for someone like Conor Glass, who'd normally be just, he's just like a machine the way he plays the game. Nothing impacts on him. He gave a bit of a dig at some stage. He was getting stuck in verbals with the Armagh. It was just very unlike them. So they're in a bad spot, Rory, I'm not sure. Westmeath, like, you know, played quite well again yesterday. They obviously, the pass for the Shane Welsh goal was probably the difference in the game. So Westmeath are going to fancy that game. And they're going to fancy knocking out Derry. And even if Derry managed to get through it, you'd wonder, do they really want to? After losing three games and being in the position that they're in, it'll take some resurrection now if they manage to do anything for the rest of the championship, because they're just in a bad place.
Just a word on Armagh as well, Willow. I mean, is there still questions around Armagh insofar as can people legitimately ask, can they win the games that matter?
Well, I suppose that question is still to be answered, Rory. But I think, you know, there's a lot of games they haven't lost in open play either. And, like, you know, here we are talking 20 minutes about the demise of Derry, and Armagh, you know, brought them to penalties last year, brought Donegal to penalties. Maybe they get a lot of, you know, criticism that's maybe a little bit over the top, that they are a decent team. And I think they've definitely evolved in the last 5-6 weeks, particularly in terms of their attack and play and their fast attack and play. And I think Blaine Hughes has been brilliant on long, quick kickouts. You know, they're kicking the ball, they've hard counter-attack play, they're solid defensively, you know, they're still solid. And even that's one of the aspects you could see clearly yesterday, was that they will hold kind of two or three in the backfield. They don't leave themselves usually open. They always have. If they were to turn over the ball, they've two or three options. They also have a deeper squad now, probably, than Derry. If you look at Coley and a lot of their players, they're getting an impact off the bench when the players are coming on. You know, Oisin O'Neill's having an impact, and Aidan Nugent's having an impact. Jason Duffy's coming in, having an impact. Parlin came in, they've been able to kind of rotate things. I thought, like, Niall Grimley yesterday, I thought, had a massive game. I thought he was brilliant right across the middle, and even Creeley and Rean O'Neill, those three across the middle caused Derry a lot of problems. So I think they've taken a lot of flack, but I think they've evolved. You know, will they can't get carried away with yesterday. They're probably, you know, maybe handed a lot of goal opportunities, and in fairness, they took them. But definitely it gives them, as Eamon said, you look at Derry and their confidence is on the floor. Armagh, to their credit, their confidence is going to be flying high, considering the emotions that they would have had to deal with coming out of that Ulster final. So I think they're probably in a more better position than they've ever been. But those ultimate question marks still hang over them in terms of winning silverware and how they can progress. But if they push on now and get into a quarter final, and they'll avoid Dublin, if they can win that last game against Galway. I know ultimately they're playing for a weekend off. That's ultimately what they're playing for. But I think it's time for them now to push on. They have that depth there.
I think from the other big story, I suppose, out of the weekend, obviously, is Cork. We should touch on that just a little bit more. I think I don't know how much of it you saw, Carr. Were you surprised?
In terms of them actually winning the game, maybe a wee tiny bit, but it did feel that I did feel that Cork were going to give Donegal all they wanted down there. The type of side we know that they like scoring goals. Probably didn't expect that Donegal would pass up the opportunities that they did to them. But I mean, Cork have been so hard to get a read on in the last couple of years. They've done this, you know, where and they lost to Clare in Munster last year, and then ended up in the group stage where they gave Kerry a run, and then they beat Mayo from six down, and then they beat Roscommon, and they gave, you know, I wouldn't say they gave Derry a huge fright in Croke Park, but they just proved that there was enough about them to think that they should be doing better. And then they start off the league this year the way they started it off, and you think, God, you know, was it a bit of a false dawn? And then they finished the league the way they finished it, and you think, ah, oh, there is something there with Cork. They just can't seem to get it to click consistently enough. But when they get their gander up, and like Parky Rin was perfect. And in terms of, you know, we're looking at crowds, we're looking at, you know, empty seats and that, but, you know, a smaller ground and an atmosphere, you know, talking to people who were at the game, like once the first goal went in, the place came alive, and then that tightness of Parky Rin becomes a factor for them. And I can't honestly say that I would have put money on Cork to beat Donegal, but I really did feel that they were going to give Donegal real trouble there. And they're a side that, you know, can give anybody trouble. It's just whether they're consistent enough, whether they're structured enough as well. They do seem to rely on goals, in fairness, in terms of their attacking play. They're not a side that is going to run up 19, 20 points in a game. And when it comes to the business end of it, are they going to be able to do that in the bigger games in Croke Park? Are they actually going to be able to trouble the better teams by being efficient enough and creating enough chances and good chances that they'll score enough to win those games? I think very, very much still question marks as to how far they will go. But I don't think anybody would love the prospect of meeting them at the same time.
You mentioned as much in your Examiner column as well there this morning, Eamon, that it will pose a problem for teams. And in, I suppose the question really, and we've seen this mentioned now, can they back that up by going and taking down Tyrone and finishing top of the group? Because the strange irony of this system, if they were beaten by Tyrone, they could end up in the exact same position as Derry, as in finish third in the group after a lot of good work done. And I suppose how important now is this Tyrone game to try and maybe infuse a level of consistency in their performances?
Oh, big time, Rory. And look, and we said it a couple of weeks ago, I felt that they could disrupt the kind of predictability of that group. And they have. And I felt that, similar to all of you, that they would give Donegal a game, but that Donegal might pull away late on, and when they got back level in the 68th minute, you kind of felt that that was the way it was going to pan out. But in fairness to Cork, they went and they won it again. But they've always liked playing Tyrone, and, you know, even I saw Dewar saying after the game yesterday that he felt that it was a very kind of nervous performance from Tyrone, even though they won quite comfortably against Clare in the scoreboard, that it didn't sound like it was a perfect performance from them. So Tyrone can be, you know, excellent, but they can be wildly inconsistent as well. So it's going to make for a cracker. Look, Cork, as you know well, Rory, when Cork footballers are confident and when they're playing well, they're a different animal, and they're going to take a lot of belief from that. They are playing with confidence at the moment. I think if you take the Kerry Munster Championship defeat out of it, they haven't lost too many games over the last couple of months. They've been on a good trajectory. They've been improving. Some of their players still can be a bit better and still need to come into a bit of form in terms of top line form, that if they're going to be competing in Croke Park. But they're certainly coming. They're well structured. You can see the Kevin Welch effect as well as John Cleary's effect on it. They're clear in what they're doing in their own kickouts and the opposition kickouts. They have those forwards that are capable of getting goals. They have been creating goal chances all year. They just haven't been taking them. So that's going to be a fascinating game, that battle with Tyrone. Tyrone depends on which Tyrone turns up. If size A grade Tyrone turns up, they'll be very hard beaten. But if there's any bit of kind of dodginess at all, Cork will exploit it. And they could end up winning the group.
And I'm going to make a direct appeal here to the fixtures makers. I think they need to cut the Cork supporters some slack. The hurlers are obviously in action on the same weekend, and they will end up playing either in Port Leash or Tullamore. So the sensible thing to do here is to put the game on as a doubleheader. That might necessarily please Tyrone, but given how many games Cork hurling and football have been on GA Go, I think they need to give the Cork supporters a small bit of a break and put the game on as a doubleheader. Now, that probably won't happen, but I think it was, and just moving on from that, Willow, from Donegal, I don't think they'd be unduly worried, would they?
It is a bit of a kickback for them. It will give them an opportunity maybe to refine and look at things. See, they will be concerned about maybe being caught on that counter-attack and their vulnerability, and maybe, you know, listen, it's a difficult one, I think, from a Donegal perspective, even mentally, to travel down, coming off the back of an Ulster final win, a great performance against Tyrone, and maybe it will just allow them to take some of the air out of the balloon a small bit, you know, and control the hype and refocus. But, you know, I think he'll try to park it as quick as possible, take the lessons from it, and move on, Rory, to be honest with you. He won't let it have a massive impact on him.
Was Loud Monaghan maybe the game of the weekend in many ways, Carr, would you think?
I was surprised that Louth Monaghan wasn't chosen for TV, to be honest. It had that air of it in terms of, you know, there was a lot riding on it. Louth are probably beyond being talked about as surprise packets, maybe a wee bit. Yeah, I think they've produced enough good performances and enough decent results over the past couple of years that anybody that didn't expect them to go, I expected them to win in Clonus. I thought Louth would win that game. And by all accounts, probably should have, barring, you know, being in a really good position and then giving away, you know, a horrible goal when they were comfortably leading 4 points up. So as to whether it was the game of the weekend, it's probably hard to say in terms of it was expected to be close. It was one of those games that was going to go to the wire, and it was, I think Cork Donegal probably would have pushed it. Now, in fairness, but even just going back to that, like, and whether Donegal will panic, I actually think it's a blessing for Donegal in many ways, because again, the nature of the two goals that they conceded were very similar to what they conceded on the turnover. You back yourself not to get turned over again like that. You don't have to fix a lot structurally, I don't think. And what they'll take out of it is, again, from 5 points down, they managed to get level. They were in possession, to be fair. Caelan McGonigal was pinged very harshly for over-carrying when Donegal were on the attack and the game was level, and Cork came down the field off that free and scored the point to go one up again. Like, Donegal have come from 3 down against Tyrone twice. They've come from 4 down against Armagh, 2 down in extra time, and 5 down in Cork. And I think above anything, that's what they'll take out of that game. They lost it. Doesn't make any massive material difference to their season. The nature of the goals, some days you're just going to concede those type of goals, but it takes air out of the balloon, which is probably no harm for them. They would rather avoid the hype. And I just think that they'll learn more than they'll lose out of that one.
The only thing you take here is that if they got, if they end up in a preliminary quarter final, even if it's at home, and then by the time they get to Croke Park, presuming they probably will get there, playing a quarter final clash, you know, the third weekend in a row, that if Cork were to beat Tyrone and they had them on the head to head and they ended up in that situation, it wouldn't be ideal for them, you know, because of the nature of the game they play. Playing 3 weeks in a row would be tough going.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And they're almost like, you would expect them to top the group if they better Tyrone's margin by 3. Well, that's if Tyrone beat Cork. Now, in fairness, if Tyrone beat Cork, but if Tyrone can do that for them, and Donegal get out, you're right. Though it's a dangerous position. Like, and there is, I mean, we've talked about a lack of jeopardy in the group stages in some ways, but I think last year showed on the final day, the jeopardy that was involved and what happened to both Galway and Mayo off the back of not finishing top of their groups when they were in good positions to do so. Like, and it had catastrophic impact on their seasons. So there's more jeopardy there than we're given credit for.
I think on that, Rory, one of the interesting things, you know, having been up a lot of the games in Ulster, and you look at the form of all the teams, and it's that imbalance that we talk about, and you know, Eamon, you touched on it there, that if Donegal were to be a preliminary quarter final, like it's another game for them. It's, you know, it's a preliminary game, quarter final, semi final, on top of all the games that have played in the Ulster Championship and the energy that's gone in up in the Ulster Championship. And you just look at Derry picking up the injuries, and you look at Armagh picking up the injuries, and they've a lot of miles on the clock already this year, while Dublin and Kerry have just been able to tip away. And you know,
you're hanging around with Sean Kavanagh too much, Kieran. He's convincing you of that.
No, to be honest, Fitzy, I've always felt that you know, it's a massive, like, it is a massive downside for the Ulster teams that there's so much energy goes into the Ulster Championship, and you're coming out of that system into a round robin before you get to a preliminary quarter final, and you have to go 3 weekends in a row. And it just reflected even in the injuries that you're seeing. Like, look at the injuries Derry have picked up, injuries Armagh picked up. You know,
but doesn't every team pick up injuries? I mean, we see Galway now, and potentially Comer is going to be missing. And like, I suppose most people would agree, Galway plus Comer and Galway minus Comer are two very different teams.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, everyone's going to pick up injuries, but it's a huge demands week in, week out. You know, even that the whole thing around mental fatigue and getting yourself ready for big games week in, week out. That it doesn't listen. There's a massive advantage there for Dublin and Kerry that they're just, you know, they're just tipping away. You know, even Dublin went away on their training holiday only a couple of weeks ago. You know, everything is further down the line. It would just be interesting to see how it pans out over the next few weeks.
Would you like to play in a modern game, Wheeler?
You've asked me that question before. I think it's very different, Rory. I think, I'm not one of these for harping on saying it was better in our day. You know, I think the skill level and the quality and the conditioning of guys now these days is off the charts, and some of the skill levels of individual players and what they can do. But it's definitely a very different type of game probably than, you know, Fitzy kind of would have played, or Kerr would have played that. You know, back, I suppose, you had very little time on the ball. It was man-to-man. It was kind of intense. The quality, you know, there was a lot more kicking. Obviously, the quality of the kicking was good at times, was bad at times, but there was a lot more intensity in the play. When you played at Inter-County level, you had very little time on the ball, where, you know, the modern game is about probably defending in numbers and attacking in numbers, and it can be slow or it can be fast, and the pace of the game can change and intertwine, and you probably a lot more time sometimes on the ball to think what you're going to do. It's a lot more probably structured in terms of what you have to do or what you're trying to do, where probably, you know, back when we played, it was a little bit more chaotic. You know what I mean? It was kind of, you know, get the ball and let it in.
Old school.
Old school, like, but so would I like to play? It would be interesting, but I just think you'd like to play, but I think it would be it's a different type of game.
What about you, Eamon?
I think I'd be on speed dial by the S&C coach anyway, Rory. Be the first. I would. I actually would like to play in the modern. I think the things that I used to enjoy, I enjoyed always. Kicking was a big part of my game, and I enjoyed that. That would be a bit different in the modern game. I know that, and you'd be tempering that. But probably the thing I enjoyed in all sports that I would have played was just the competition element of it, and competing and trying to win, and that side of things. So I always really enjoyed that. So I would, if I could, I'd enjoy to win. Similar to Kieran, though, I enjoyed the way football was in our era, and I feel it was a very enjoyable game to play at that stage. It's a bit more, you know, it's obviously more tactical and everything now. And as Kieran said, the conditioning of the players, the skill of the players, even that Turbitt goal yesterday, that, you know, the last solo he took from his right hand to his left foot, if you were trying that 20 years ago, I'd like to see the way it would have worked out. Or Shane Welch for his finish as well. He took an extra solo right at the end when it looked like he was about to finish and, you know, finished it brilliantly. So the players are outstanding nowadays. Long-winded way of saying, Rory, I still would love to be playing or I'd enjoy it, but I know I'd have to change my game and change the way I played, I suppose.
And you playing a goal, Carr. I mean, obviously the importance of the goalkeeper in modern Gaelic football, I'm sure you would love to be in there.
To know we're near the level of those things. I'm still playing a wee bit of club football in Antrim, funny at the moment, and it's very different. In that even the games that I would play now in goals, like I'm coming off, I would wear the watch, like, and you're maybe covering 6-7 kilometers doing nets, which is a bit mad. Like, and like, oftentimes I would come off and wonder, what did I do? Like, I ran about 6 kilometers there. I don't think I touched the ball in open play. Like, you know, you're out standing for kickouts and you're basically somebody back at the pivot, like, and maybe kicking the ball to the other wing. Like, and I don't know, it has changed. It has changed an awful, awful lot. And the role of the goalkeeper is, like everything we talk about, sport evolving. Like, and something that has surprised me a tiny bit is that as an attacking side of the game, nobody has, well, maybe we're seeing a wee bit more of it this year now in terms of Oran Lynch being caught out particularly and things, teams looking at that and how do we punish this. But even in terms of the fellas that are in goals, they're not natural goalkeepers. I'm always surprised you don't see somebody try a wee dig from 20 yards, 25 yards, like at a goal. Like, you're not shooting at a goalkeeper from there. And I'm always a wee bit surprised that we haven't seen that wee bit of an evolution and trying to really punish teams for choosing a goalkeeper who's not a goalkeeper. And I think we've seen actually in Armagh, I actually think that a big part of their solidity and their difference this year has been Blaine Hughes. I think Blaine Hughes has been absolutely brilliant from start to finish this year. And he's a natural goalkeeper. He's a shot stopper. He's good in the air. And his kickouts have improved immeasurably. He's very, very good now off the tee. Like, and like the goalkeeper, like Donegal again, Sean Patton is a natural goalkeeper. And they don't ask of him much. You know, he'll come out the odd time and take an odd possession. Like, but he's a goalkeeper first and foremost. And his skill set is off the tee. And I just think that there's actually a wee tiny bit of a trend almost back towards goalkeeping, away from being madly involved and in terms of the attacking side of the game. Like, so, and in terms of teams that aren't doing that, I just that others haven't tried to expose that a wee bit more. I'm just surprised that somebody hasn't tried it.
We'll finish up now because, look, I think it's, football takes a break next weekend, obviously, and hurling takes centre stage. And then in 2 weeks' time, we'll have the final round. And hopefully, there'll be a bit of drama like we got last year. Just one final question before we go, Eamon. You're writing this morning about Kerry. And I think it's always an interesting subject matter for most people in Gaelic football land, is what's happening with Kerry. And would it be fair to say in the piece, you're kind of making the case that Kerry don't know where they are?
They don't, Rory. No, they don't. Look, they're doing what they have to do at the moment and they're getting through it. But at the same time, I would imagine within the camp themselves, you know, they'll feel that they still have a level that they need to go to. And they can go to. They like, that's the thing with the Kerry's Dublins. That can happen in a week. It doesn't need months of building up because they know what they need to do. They have the players. They have an experienced management team. It can happen very quickly. I just think if you're comparing and contrasting with the standard bearers and you're looking at the way Dublin dismantled Cavan on Saturday evening, I don't think the Kerry performance was at that level yesterday. It just didn't have that feel of just ruthlessness about it. I know in the end the margin was big. In the last 10 or 15 minutes, they kind of put a score on meet and they finished the game out strongly. But I feel that, yeah, they need to start kind of progressing and coming with a bit more intensity without the ball in particular. I thought that was evident in the first half of the Monaghan game, but they haven't needed to either, to be fair to the Maori and to be fair to the lads. And, you know, that's, you have to be understanding of that as well. Louth will be a very different test now on the last day. And again, you'd expect them to bring a bit more, but it's hard to know where they're at. They're doing what they need to do. But they'll certainly need to up the ante a bit by the time they hit Crow Park.
I think on that, Eamon, that, you know, there was obviously no sense of urgency yesterday, as you said, that didn't have to be. It resembled more of a challenged game feel to it. It never really got to any sort of pitch. But the interesting thing about Louth is obviously Louth are qualified, but they'll want home advantage. So if Monaghan were to win, they'd go level with them, and then it will come down to score difference. So I'm quite sure Ger Brennan will bring the same template as he brought to the Dubs against Kerry. It will be very much damage limitation, and they will concede kickouts and just sit deep, and it will be Kerry will just have to find a way to break but
they're,
them down.
They're good at that, though, Ciarán.
They're good at it, yeah. No, they're organised, yeah.
And I think what they have and other teams that do that is they're excellent going forward.
Yeah, they're good forwards, yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They have good forwards, and they're kind of unpredictable as well. They don't just take the kind of expected pass, or they don't do the expected thing all of the time. And because of that, they've got a couple of goals over the last couple of weekends as well. So it will be a different test, all right. But I think that's good for Kerry. I think that they need, and even Louth are quite physical as well. I think that Kerry need that kind of a battle now.
Mm. And I suppose probably best exemplified, Willow, in some ways in the farm at David Clifford, where there's slightly indifference about Kerry. I mean, if you were potentially picking an all-star team right now, it might be the first time ever where Clifford wouldn't actually make it onto the team. But yeah. I don't know if they're too worried, because you just know with Clifford, when he needs to turn it on, he will. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, you know, listen, we know the class that he has, and you can see maybe just been a little bit of frustration in his game this year at times, just, you know, basic maybe skill errors that he would normally execute, and there was maybe a little bit of frustration yesterday. He didn't get going, and then all of a sudden, bang! He has, you know, 2-3 in the space of, you know, five, 10 minutes. You know, so I wouldn't be too worried about David Clifford. I've been honest with you. I think he's going to be the big day player for when it matters, and you know, in some ways, the positive yesterday from Kerry was when they did. You know, they kept Paddy on the leash and David on the leash for 50 minutes, and Johnny O'Shea had a quiet enough game, but it was the other guys, Ryan Blavick, it was Thomas Sullivan, Joe O'Connor, it was the guys on the periphery that kind of were more prominent in that first half. And that's probably the positives. And even the other factor, I don't know, Fitzy, what you feel, but the role of Tony Brosnan, they're definitely playing him more out the field. He's not playing inside. They see him maybe as a shooter from long range, and I know he's been in and out of the team, but he definitely seems to be, I don't know whether they're teeing him up for that extra bit of power across the, you know, for long range shooting. He's definitely playing a little bit better, I think, and more consistent.
Yeah, big time. And I think it was something that they were probably looking at, getting another scorer into that half forward line. So it is working so far. And look, with all these things, I think that the acid test is when you play the Dubs and maybe a Mayo, in terms of teams that set up orthodox. And if you're Tony Brosnan then playing at 10 and you have to defend Jack McCaffrey going the other way, that's the ultimate test of that move then, because you know, the way teams, the likes of Meath play yesterday, it's a bit easier to play a role like that. But yeah, no, Tony is playing well, and it's great to see, and it's just deepening the squad a bit. And he was unfortunate last year coming into the All-Ireland, was he had that, you know, he had that collapsed lung issue, and he's just been unlucky with injuries over the years. So it's good to see him getting a kind of a run of games now at the moment.
Yeah, and looking forward to those run of games in 2 weeks' time. It should be good as knockout football finally kind of starts to come into view. Looking forward, and we will look ahead to those games, obviously, next week. Jackie should hopefully be back on Thursday as we look ahead to the Munster Hurling Championship final, the Leinster final. It should be a great game, a great occasion, Dublin and Kilkenny, and obviously the Joe McDonagh final, Lee Shoffley. We'll be back on Thursday to preview those games. And until then, thanks for listening.